chapter 5. This is Christ's sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And if there's any sermon that we're going to study, it ought to be Christ and really figure out what he's trying to say. And the more and more I look at this sermon, the more and more I see just how meticulous, how precise, how thought out, how this sermon just flows. It's amazing. But he talked about in the Beatitudes, we talked about what blessing means. Blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the peacemakers. And following all of those blessings is a very important promise given to each one. And what Jesus is saying is that as you are happy acknowledging your sin, that you're poor in spirit, you can actually be deeply happy while confessing sin. Isn't that strange? And not only that, but you can be safe. You can be encouraged by the promise that follows. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom in heaven. In other words, Jesus is saying, you can be honest, you can be vulnerable, you can be transparent. You can actually move into this world, this dark world, as a peacemaker, and you can rely on my promises, not your riches, but it is safe for you to open your life up. It is safe for you to confess your sin, your poverty in spirit. It is safe for you to actually deal with the broken parts of your life and the broken parts in other people's lives. It's safe to hunger and thirst after righteousness and let go of hungering and thirsting after the wrong things. You're safe. It's okay. I promise you. That's what Jesus says. Now, we have to know, and we have to truly believe, not merely agree with. Yeah, it makes sense that Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But when it comes down to it, when we are faced with our own sin, do we go, you know what, I need to confess my sin to you, because I really want to make things better, and I can confess my sin to you because I know that even though I am poor in spirit, Jesus says the kingdom is mine. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be safe. Do we really know and do we really believe that? We have to. We have to take these promises and cherish them, because what Jesus is calling us to next, to be salt and light in the world, we must know those promises. We have to believe those promises. And not just in this church kind of way, but as we are working out relationships in our everyday life, it is a very real thing to say, you know what, okay, I can be honest here in this conversation, because no matter what inadequacies come out right now, the kingdom is mine because of Christ. We've got to know that and trust in that. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. We talked about that last week. Not only are you a salt, but you're the salt. Definite article. There is no other salt. Now, how many of you have ever received the compliment that you're salty? There's at least six other people in this room that have been told last week that you're a salty people. Thank you very much. Okay. I sent out a text message to a lot of you that, man, you are some salty people. And what does that mean? It means that the world is decaying, the world is not fulfilling its purpose, and so we must be salt in the world to prevent it from decaying, to preserve its purpose, and to add flavor to life, right? And what Jesus says next, that you are the light of the world. You got to know that you're going to be okay when you are going to rotting people who are rotting spiritually. You got to know that you're going to be okay when you go to a people that do not know their purpose. And you got to know that you're going to be okay when you're going to people who don't know their purpose and who are dull in life. But here's the deal. You've got to know that you're going to be okay when you go into a dark place. How many of you, at least when you were a kid, were scared to go into a dark room? And you just wanted somebody to be with you. You wanted somebody bigger and stronger than you to let you know that it was going to be okay in the dark. And they could turn the light on or not. Sometimes lights weren't available. So there's some scenarios that I remember walking out in the woods and it was just dark. There's nothing you can do about it. But as long as I had my brother with me, he's 9 years older than me, and he was real tall back then. I hadn't hit my growth spurt yet. I knew I was going to be okay. And it made going into the darkness bearable. It made it possible. And what Jesus is saying here is that because of my promises, because I'm going to be with you, because the kingdom is yours, because I am yours, because my righteousness is yours, you can be the light of the world. You can go into dark places. And that's what this passage is saying first. The world is a dark place. The world is a dark place. How is it dark? John chapter 3 says that the light came into the world. Jesus came into the world, and the world hated the light. This is why it's dangerous, and this is why it's dark. Let me just read it instead of trying to quote it, because I'm going to slander them, paraphrasing here. John 3:19, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. That's one reason why the world is dark, because it hates the light. It loves evil. Darkness, lawlessness. And do you know, I mean, that's a scripture, but do you know how nasty that is to love lawlessness, to love evil? Let me read you a passage out of Matthew that discusses and talks about, and I'm just going to implant, they love this here. Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. People who love lawlessness love murder. People who love lawlessness, hearts that love lawlessness, love adultery. They love immorality. They love stealing things and theft. They love lying and being deceitful. They love slandering, belittling other image bearers. Doesn't that make you scared to go into a dark place? And here we're going to be redundant. What's the most dangerous place in the universe? The human heart. Because it's dark. There's things like this there. There are things in every heart that loves evil, that loves murder, that loves theft, that loves deceit, that loves slander. The world doesn't understand the problem. That's another reason why it's dark. It doesn't understand the problem. Here's what the world says. Everybody outside of what Christ is saying, here's what they say is the actual problem. You know what? Your thinking needs to be enlightened. Your mind isn't right. You need to be educated. Knowledge is the main problem. You don't have it. Therefore, if we just enlighten your mind, if we get you educated, things will change. What else do they say is the problem? Behavior. Mere behavior. You got to act right. Start doing right. How many times have you heard somebody say, man, you got to start doing right? Stop doing bad, do right. Behavior is the problem. The world thinks the environment's the problem. You know what? If we could just get you out of this environment, that's your chief, man, I just can't be here. I mean, everything around me was chaotic today, therefore, that was my biggest problem. And the world's wrong. Yeah, wrong thinking is a problem. Bad behavior is a problem. And a bad environment can absolutely influence. But a bad heart is the problem. Our nature is the problem. And that's what we don't want to hear, right? We don't want to hear that the problem is right here inside of us in a place that we can't get to. Change your heart. You can change your mind, right? If you got a willpower long enough, you can change your behavior for a while, right? Anybody can change their environment if they try hard enough and just move away, run away, change my environment. Who can change your own heart? The Bible says no one can change your own heart. A leopard could change its spots quicker than a person can change their own heart. The world doesn't even know the problem, doesn't understand the problem. And therefore, it doesn't understand who's responsible, and it can't do anything about it. It has no solution. There's no solution in the world. No government program, no educational program, no program to make the streets better, the homes better, all that. You could have the best educational system in the world. You could have the best behavioral whatever programs in the world. You could have the best community development programs in the world to build the most beautiful houses, to build the most beautiful yards, to build the most beautiful everything. And if the heart is corrupt, it's all going to go down. Right? And you know what? We're going to spend money as a country more and more and more and more and more trying to create these better educational programs, better neighborhood development programs, better, you know, psychological programs to make sure we alter the behavior better. And if we don't aim at the solution, the real solution, the human heart with the right thing, with the right way, it's not going to matter. Amen? Do we believe that? Now, we might intellectually believe that. When it comes down to it, what do? Man, I got to read a book. I got to get my mind right. I got to get out of here. New Year's resolution, I got to stop doing that. I got to change my behavior. Watch out. Watch out. We can blame the world, but man, we in the church are just as guilty. What does Jesus say is the solution? What is Jesus? This will shock you. What does Jesus say is the solution? You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Not some great thinker, not some great politician, not some great pastor, not some great school teacher, not some great extraordinary athlete, not some extraordinary person that's got PhDs, that's got all the accolades that human society would want. Jesus goes to normal people that he called out of a boat, uneducated people is what Acts calls them, and they followed him, merely followed him, and he looks at them in the eyes and says, "You are the light." Common, ordinary people that no one would ever have seen it coming. You are the light. Church. The Christian church. If you are a Christian, Jesus is looking at you. If you are a follower of Christ, Jesus is looking at you, and he is honoring you and what he has done in your life. And he is saying, not you are a light. You're not merely a light. You are the light. Where you go, light goes. You bring light to dark places. If you don't go there, it will remain what? Dark. Telling somebody today, you have no idea how valuable you are. Because every decision you make is attached to another person. When you make a good decision, you rip hearts out. When you make a bad decision, you rip hearts out. When you make a good decision, man, things get enlightened. We have no idea how important and valuable we are as image bearers. And Jesus here just raises the bar. You are the light of the world. You who are poor in spirit, you who mourn over your sin, you who are meek and humble and lowly, you who hunger and thirst after righteousness, you who actually go into hard places and become peacemakers, you who are persecuted and everybody tells you you're stupid for being a Christian and you're dumb for believing what you believe and all this sort of thing. Jesus says, you are the salt. You are the light. If you're not around, people will rot. If you're not around, they will never figure out their purpose. If you are not around, the world will be dull and bored and continue listening to the same lame music we're listening to right now about, like I said yesterday, DJ, play the music so we can party all night and have our fill of pleasure and then tomorrow, whatever. And you know what? If we don't move out, there will be no light. We're the light. Don't you love Jesus? Ordinary, common followers of Christ. You don't have to be extraordinary. Just be normal. Be you and love people. You don't have to be extraordinary. Why? Because you are blessed. The promises are yours. Now, what does the light do? Very quickly, this is an easy point. I want to get to another one. It exposes darkness and evil. It says darkness hates the light because the light exposes its evil works. In other words, some people don't want you around because when you're around, they get convicted. Some people don't want you around because when you come around, they all of a sudden struggle with making the choices that they would have made if you hadn't been there. And that's not always an easy place to be, is it? It's uncomfortable. Light also explains the cause. Light comes in and says, you know what? Your main problem isn't your mind. Your main problem isn't your behavior. Your main problem aren't things that you can right now immediately change. Your main problem and my main problem is my own heart and your own heart, things that neither one of us can change. And until we recognize that we are poor in spirit and that we actually bring nothing to the table and we both fall on our faces here and say, you know what? We've tried everything and we can't make it change. When will we fall on our knees, say, Lord, I don't bring anything to the table, and actually weep over the situation and ask him to just do something? Don't tell him what to do. Just ask him to do something. This is my prayer every morning when I wake up. Lord, transform me today. Just transform me today. Tomorrow's got enough to worry. I got enough to worry about tomorrow. It's got enough problems on its own. Just change me today. It explains the cause. Light explains that the cause is our sinful, selfish, self-seeking heart. The heart that says, you know what? If I'm honest here, then I'm going to die. I can't be honest about who I am because you'll reject me. I can't be honest about who I am or you'll reject me. I can't move in and actually expose what's wrong with you because you might reject me. You might do something bad to me, and I can't handle that. It's just not a safe place to be. The problem is our nature. It's our heart. But light also shines on the way. It says not only is your problem, light doesn't leave people in sin. Light doesn't leave people with just merely, let me show you how jacked up you really are, and once you agree with how jacked up you really are, see you later. That's not what light does. Only. Light says, here's what our problem is. Let me show you the way. Let me show you the light of the world. Let me show you who Christ is. And here's how you can know if you're being light or not. Are you just showing people their sin? Or are you showing people their sin truthfully and graciously, but also showing them the way? Are you leaving them there? Are you leaving yourself there? Or are you showing them the way? And the way is Christ. The way is the way we've been talking about. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God inside of you. The kingdom of God is at hand. Christ, who died for you so that you could be safe. Who died for you so that you could confess your sins and be cleansed. Who died for you so that you'll no longer and ever face the wrath of God. You'll be safe and you'll live. Isn't that great news? And that's got to be practical. Here's the good news. Here's showing the way. You don't have to be extraordinary because Jesus is. And in Christ, you are extraordinary. You don't have to be something and someone you're not because Jesus is is so much more than you are. And you are in him and you're safely hidden in him. He is the light. Listen to him. Trust his control. And take pleasure in his presence with you as he grows his kingdom inside of you from the inside out and your heart out. But what I love about this passage, and this is the last point, is that Jesus tells us not only what the light does, but why it does it. Why does the light expose and explain and show? And the why, here's what I'm convinced, is that the why makes us humble. Jesus can give us our mission and tell us what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to do as the light of the world. And we can actually go for it and do that. And sometimes I think pride just overtakes us. But I really believe that the why is here, at least to make us humble, so that we won't take the glory for ourselves. Listen to it. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. Christian, you're supposed to do good works. Good works are accompany those who are the light so that they may see your good works. And here it is, give glory to your Father who is in heaven. There's a way to do good works where everyone says, you know what? They're not even tempted to bring you glory. They just want to glorify the Father. And I'm convinced it's because of this. It's because a person who is poor in spirit navigates good works in such a way that they're not bringing glory to themselves. And here's why. It's because we too were once in the dark. Isn't that what Ephesians says? We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Ephesians 5:8 says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And Jesus says in John 8, I am the light of the world. We get our light from Jesus. We didn't get it from ourselves. And so if we think that the problem is a right mind, just follow this with me. If we think our main problem is a right mind, and so we read books and we get education and we start thinking correctly, and we approach somebody and expose what they're doing wrong because we are thinking correctly, and we build these arguments and everything is clicking with our mind, and man, that person's like, man, you must know a lot. Well, as a matter of fact, I do. I read these books. They're like, wow, and they'll leave only with this. Probably not. This is where I'm extremely convicted. They won't leave going, you know what? I took away some point about Jesus that makes me whole. They leave going, man, I took away a lot of facts that person gave me that I can't remember, but all I know is they're smart. And I'm ashamed of that. Personally. Because, man, when Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, that convicts me because I think naturally, and I thought for a long time, blessed are the pure in mind. And I wanted people to know that I was smart, because if they did, they wouldn't reject me and I wouldn't die. But because he says, blessed are you, even when you're poor in spirit, even when you're not pure, blessed are you because the promises are yours. I can be like, you know what? I don't know everything. I don't have enough time to read the books I want to read. I'm sick of playing around. I just want to give you the gospel that's changing me. And it makes us humble. Because we're not, why in the world would you want to glorify a corpse? Someone who's made a mess of their life. Paul says to the world, I'm a crucified man. Why would we want to glorify that? And there's nothing to glorify anyway, because he is the light, right? He's the light. And so we move forward as the light. Why? To bring the Father glory. To bring the Father glory. But also, look at this. Here's another thing. We move forward as the light in community with one another. And that also makes us humble. Why? Because light just builds community. Look at this. You are the light of the world, a city, not a person on a hill, a city on a hill, a community on a hill, Trinity Gardens on a hill, Trinity Family on a hill. You're a people together. You're light. And man, if we walk around shining light on one another, not only can we move forward and talk about each other's junk, but we can also point each other to Jesus. It needs to start right here. Amen? It needs to start with a Christian community that we can be honest with one another. We can help each other with our weaknesses. We can help each other move through our sins and the repercussions of our sins and how we've messed things up. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light into all the house. Those are people, you know. In the same way, let your light shine before others. In other words, you cannot be a light if you close the door and you get away from people. You can't be a light if you're not shining the light. A light, by necessity, according to this passage, is something that reaches other people. And so it's a light that is shining in the world. I want you to notice that Jesus calls us salt before he calls us light. He calls us salt before he calls us light. Because here's the thing, if we don't care about people, remember how we talked about how salt gets into meat? How does salt get into meat when you preserve it and all that kind of stuff? How do you do it? It's a coarse salt that you massage and you rub into the meat. Right? You just get all up in it. In other words, you cannot be salt if you're not in people's lives. If you don't care that if you're not there, they're going to rot spiritually. If you don't care that if you're not there, they'll never reach their purpose. If you don't care that their life will just continue dull. But when you do care as salt, when you do care about people and you're in their life, to move into their life, to preserve them, to prevent them from decaying, and to give them flavor and actually purpose in life, then it says, once you care enough to be close to them and make sure they won't die. I was telling somebody earlier this week as we were driving in my car, I looked at him, I said, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die. He said, man, I appreciate that, Pastor Scott. I was like, I don't want you to die. I want you to live. I don't want you to decay, but I also want you to live. I want your purpose to be preserved in life. And then I said, and here's the other thing, man. I want you and your children to make an impact in this community. In other words, I want your life to have taste. I want it to be flavorful for other people. I want you to move forward in this community and you to make the greatest changes, not me. And then you can say, when you care, when we care that much, let me tell you some things I see. Because when they know you care, right, then they listen. Jesus is so precise. He says, we're salt. Get into their life. Love them that way. Then be light. Then talk to them. Then shed light on the things that you see. You can't shed light on them with care if you don't see them. If you have your Bibles, go to Acts 13, verse 47. I love this verse. Our vision statement here at Trinity Family is to see Trinity Gardens transformed for the glory of God. Have we heard that tonight? For the glory of God, for the good of the city, and for the salvation of all peoples. In other words, I really believe, and we really believe, that we can be a city on a hill. We can be a community on a hill. But read Acts 13, 47. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that is, for the nations, for those who are not like you, for those other people, that you may bring, are you ready? That you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. I have made you a light, not so that you can worry about your protection anymore. He's got you, but you can be a light for others, for the Gentiles, for the nations, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, he's talking to a people who think that they're very small right now. And he tells them something like this, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Do you believe that God can do that through you? Do you believe that he can use you as the light of the world and you can actually bring salvation to the ends of the world? Do you believe that? Don't trust yourself. He can do it. He has done it. And he will do it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and how you are so precise, how you are so true, and how you talk about the things that really matter, and how when you talk about things, you're so gracious, you change things for the better. Lord, I pray that you would